Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined, as always, in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, we are now partners in not doing radio for free anymore, because we have not one, but two sponsors this week. And in addition to that, we've got a lot of content to get into. So much so that we were getting into some of it during our pre-show prep, which is always a good sign for the episode that is to come. So, Piper, we've got a brand new book, put out by a publisher that we're familiar with, Waterbrook Multnomah, which Ronald reminded me that we've done like two books with them.
One book, which it's good enough for alumni. We should be getting like our alumni mugs.
Yeah. Dude, we should get an alumni mug. We should get a Waterbrook alumni magazine.
Tell Stoddy, Andrew Stoddard, our boy, our friend.
Stoddy, my dear friend.
We still don't have Waterbrook mugs, alumni mugs.
I want Waterbrook swag of all kinds. T-shirts, mugs.
I'm sure they have the full range.
Do you know what this means? It means that you guys get to also say you are Penguin Random House authors.
Well, that's how I like to think of myself.
Dude, warmth that I get from thinking of myself as a Penguin Random House author.
I just say Random House, and then when I'm around people that are friends with Tim Keller, I say Penguin. So it just depends who I'm with.
There you go, baby. It's all about how you leverage it. Absolutely. And that's a tip of the cap to you on that leveraging. But Piper, far be it from Ronald and me to talk about our book, our best-selling, groundbreaking, paradigm-shifting book with Waterbrook Multnomah. Why don't you tell us about the sponsor?
Well, real quick question. Would you describe your book as an instant classic?
Yes. Okay. No question.
I feel like that follows the others, but you left it off, and I wasn't sure if it was on purpose or just it was assumed.
Okay. Would I describe it as assumed. A tour de force? I would.
Okay. Good. Also, all of those probably apply to this book. It's called The Deeply Formed Life by Rich Velotis, who's a pastor in New York. Ted, if you would like to do your standard looking up of Rich, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised by his aesthetic.
How do I spell the last name?
Villodas.
All right, looking him up. Rich Velotis.
I like Rich Velotis, man. I like Rich.
Yes.
Ronald, have you hung with Rich Velotis?
I've never hung with him. I follow him on social, and I like what he says.
Oh yeah, dude, Rich.
So the book is The Deeply Formed Life, and it is it's essentially a book about kind of in the vein of a Eugene Peterson, but with an eye towards something beyond just sort of the contemplative heart life. So a little bit more of how a deeply formed Christian life engages outwardly as well. So looking at rhythms of growing deeper in our faith, in our following of Christ, but then also looking at how that extends to racial justice and sexual ethics, sexual wholeness, and having presence in a particular place, so sort of a missional identity in a place. So essentially looking at discipleship in a way that forms us so that we make an outward facing difference, not just have a deeper personal relationship with Christ. And Rich is a really good example of this in his own ministry in New York. But let me pull up here. I'm pulling up some of the endorsements because these are always solid endorsements on here. So
it's a very sincere moment, the endorsement.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, Ted, your favorite, John Mark Comer.
Oh,
first endorsement.
Can you read it in John Mark's voice?
I can't because I've never listened to John Mark's voice. So,
I have,
so maybe you could read it in John Mark's voice if you were to redefine it. So John Mark Comer endorsed. There's a lady named Susan Kalichi Watson who has been part of Rich's church for 10 years, who's an actress on This Is Us.
Oh yes,
which is a show.
Wait.
That
Susan Kalichi
the women
Watson
in my life
is the
right
love. Way. Right?
Sure. Let's go with that. Glenn Packiam, another person I respect from a distance. Karen Swallow Pryor, who I know and think very highly of. She endorsed it. So did Brian Laritz, another person I really like. Man, he's got
just Dude, Rich is killing it
lists.
With these blurbs. He spent some time on the blurbs.
Yeah, he really went all out on the blurbs. So yeah, go check this book out. It is available now. It released this week at the time of the recording, The Deeply Formed Life by Rich Velotis. The foreword is by Pete Scazzaro, who wrote Emotionally Healthy Leader, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. Those are both really good books as well, just in terms of finding rhythms of rest in Christ in the midst of things. So there's, you can kind of sense a theme here. So check out The Deeply Formed Life from Waterbrook Baltnoma and Rich Velotis, available now. He is also now a Penguin Random House author and should be lauded for that.
Yeah, we're probably going to be hanging out soon. Let me just add to that pipe, which, by the way, amazing job as all. We're going to do an over-the-top job getting blurbs for our future project. I just want the kids to know that we're not going to slack when it comes time to get our blurbing.
Mm. We actually had one listener who emailed after our last episode and said that he would be happy to endorse the book if we're looking for somebody who just is, he's like, I would be what is considered a normal pastor, and nobody knows who I am, so I'd be a perfect endorser for this book. So that's true. There's a possibility there as well.
For every normal pastor we get, we don't get to get Rich Velotis, and he's obviously on our list now, you know.
Do you think Rich listens to the podcast?
Well, Rich is a fellow Waterbrook alumni.
Well, yeah.
So I don't even ask that question.
He's in the family. I mean, right. Yeah, he's a member of that Waterbrook fraternity, you know.
Yeah. In fact, that was Rich just texting me. He's coming over tonight. We're going to do a little Waterbrook reunion book study around the fire. It's going to be
great. Share some memories.
Mr. and Mrs. Rich Velotis. I'll be there at 7.
What's your favorite thing about Waterbrook, you know?
Yeah, I think so. We're going to reminisce about days with us with our boy Andrew Stotty.
Stotts, dear friend.
I want to look at
Andrew Stoddard and remind myself what he looks like. Do you think there's a picture of Stoddy on?
He's a pretty handsome devil. I mean, really, at the end of the day.
Is he?
Yeah,
really?
he has sort of that academic chic kind of thing where he's, you know, like a nicely groomed beard.
Stodd is academic chic. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's also one of the nicest people.
He's amazing, man.
Stoddy has blurbs about himself on his website. Yeah. Like, not about a particular book, just like famous people talking about Stodd's, the guy. This is great.
I mean, if I was an actor, I would want Stodd to be my manager, you know?
If I was an actor, I would want to just look like Stodd's, I think.
I'd want to look like Stodd's or have Stodd's as my manager because I'm not as good looking as Stodd's, so I feel like that would
maybe don't beat yourself up in that way.
You know, I'm just feeling that way today.
Are you having a rough one, baby?
No, I'm not having a rough one, but you know, like some days you don't feel as handsome as you do other days. I'm just having those days.
Totally. Yeah. What makes you feel handsome? Let's go a couple minutes on that.
Part of it is feeling good, like, you know, getting ready, having a good morning, feeling good, having the hair go right, liking the outfit, and then looking forward to what's ahead on the day's agenda. Yeah. And today had some of those elements in place, but I was a little rushed. Mm. So in the pure looks department, I wasn't quite there. I'm not fully secure.
Well, baby, we're all dealing with a lot right now.
Baby, Piper is hating this convo right now, like more than he can ever express or describe.
No, that's not true. I don't hate it. I just feel like I don't know who I'm talking with right now.
Piper, do you have these issues vis-a-vis feeling handsome?
I don't think Pipe does. I don't think that's his issue. Big T.
Maybe I don't want you putting words in his mouth, though. Let Piper speak for himself.
I don't have these issues, and lest I come off like an utter arrogant jackass.
What is he trying to just not so subtly just say?
I don't know, Ron.
No, so I don't. It's not because I walk into every room and think I'm exceptionally handsome. It's because that's not a category by which I don't really think about it that much. I just sort of live.
I think about it all the time.
Pipe, listen. I know you do, Big T. That's why I brought it up. But Pipe, listen to this. I had a guy. Listen, this guy. He reminds me of you. I had a guy that told me the other day. He was a pastor. He said, "I am the least self-aware person I know in terms of my looks, not like other stuff." Mm. But he says there are most days where I don't even look at myself in the mirror to get ready in the morning.
Wow.
He literally gets out of the shower, puts something in his hair, dresses, walks out without looking at his face. And I thought,
baby,
that is the most amazing thing I've ever heard.
I want to lean into that for a minute. Is that just like a weird flex? Is it like I'm so...
Dude, no, like, no, dude. He's like, no, he was making no air or bones about it. Literally, it was just...
So it wasn't that, like I'm so into theology that I don't have...
No, not at all. He was like literally like, he goes, it's a weird thing about me. He goes, and I'm not judging anybody who looks in a mirror. I don't care. Yeah. He goes, but I don't even think about it. I don't care. Now, Pipe... I would say you're not that far, right?
Yeah.
No, not that far. I mean,
I
really like to just be like center cut, which means if nobody ever noticed how I looked, I'd be pretty content.
Yeah.
So if I could dress in a way that nobody notices, like I'm neither too dumpy nor too flashy. I make no stylistic statements. If I can wear a t-shirt and jeans and like a baseball cap every day, I'm pretty content. If I have to dress up, I feel out of place because it feels like a costume, you know. So wearing a suit always feels like I'm, I'm going to a costume party or something,
or a seminary.
Well, that's if I pull out my tweed and jeans with the tucked in like Joseph A. Banks shirt or whatever. So I just prefer to go through life without looks being a factor.
Pipe, let me just explain something to you, because what you're saying, let me tell you where me and Big T are coming from. So I wouldn't say that me and Big T are so concerned primarily about what other people think we look like. Our problem is how we feel about what we look like.
Yeah.
That's the real issue at work here. And that is where I think we're probably super jealous of you, to be quite
honest. I think we are.
I mean, maybe this isn't a choice. Maybe this is just, you know, wired. But, like, what is gained? Like, when you look at yourself and you're like, oh, it's a bad day. What's the difference between a bad day and a good day? What difference does it make in life? What do you gain?
It makes no difference other than sort of the way we feel and the confidence we have that particular day we feel like we're progressing in life. And, oh, no, I'm getting older.
If you feel unhandsome, do you do poorly at other things?
Yes.
I don't know if you do poorly, but you feel like you're doing poorly and you feel like you're going to do poorly.
Right. So Big T, let me just suss this out for you, because I think it's the same for me. So, you have a bad morning where it's like everything, you put on a couple shirts, you hate it.
Yeah.
You're not feeling slim enough. You're not feeling this enough. You got to stand up in front of your students and speak. Now, it doesn't mean that you're standing. It doesn't mean that what you said to them that morning or whatever was bad. It just means you didn't feel good saying it.
Yes, that's it, man.
That's it, right there. Yeah.
Yeah. When you look good, you feel good.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what it is. Good. So, right. It doesn't mean that the content suffered, but you like to feel good presenting the content.
Well, dude, that's a huge part of it. Like, I need to feel good about how the content gets conveyed.
Exactly.
And if I don't feel good about the way I look, also, I'm a real like observer of handsomeness dynamics. Mm. We were just talking about this morning. I feel like
HD.
Handsome, HD. Handsome people who are mediocre are given way more opportunities.
Oh, dude.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you
get, like, it's just Hollywood, you know? I mean, I don't know, right?
Academia, like literally anywhere. Like you get four or five more like bites at the apple if you're handsome.
I have a follow-up question on that. So in academia, who is judging handsomeness? Because I feel like that's a terrible array of judges. Like that panel of judges is entirely unqualified.
Well, I mean, I am whenever I walk into a room. So there's that. But like,
you don't strike me as like a quintessential academic. You're sort of the rogue in the academic room.
Yeah, dude, I'm definitely like not, you know, cut from that cloth, as it were. But like, we got a guy
that tweed,
and I'm not going to say his name, but I really want to. But he's like, you probably know this guy, Pipe. He's like the young show pony, like Bible prof of our university. And if you're a university like ours, it's important that you always have a young show pony Bible prof. And it helps that I like this dude and his theology is good. So like, I'm a big fan of this guy. But he's like, he's the trot out guy, and he's sort of gradations more like academic hipster than Stoddy. So if you take Stoddy and you give him like the Hitler Youth, you know, kind of hipster comb over haircut, and like
that's how I like to describe it, as Hitler Youth.
Oh, that's my favorite way to describe it, because people who have it think they look cool, and you just deflate them all the way down. It's wonderful.
One, I love doing that. I really, really love doing that, to be fair, because they're more handsome than I am, right? And what do I want to do with a handsome guy? I want to I want to chip away at it, dude. You know what I mean?
With you a with explore. A, you want to explore it.
Yeah, yeah. I wanna chip away. I wanna just knock him down a peg. But no, this guy, like, he's really academically handsome in that even though it's 104 degrees out still, he's always wearing like a dress shirt with a sweater on top of it with a sport coat over that.
Judas.
And I'm like, bro, how are you not perpetually dehydrated?
It's just
like, really, are you getting an IV in your office between classes? Like an athlete would get at halftime, you know?
Is he like an android or something? Like, are we certain he's
but he weighs like a buck 20. I mean, he's one of these real waify, willowy guys.
Baby, you know? what are the chances that I could be like the old show pony at Bible prof at a university, you know?
Yeah, asking for a friend, you know.
There, yeah, like what? Like, well, I didn't even ask for a friend. I said, "What are the chances?
To be a real show pony." And we got another guy who's like literally a show pony, and then he's on this cherry contract where he's only got to teach like one class.
That's what I'm talking about, right there.
Yeah, yeah. I've talked in a jealous way about this guy before.
The OSP, like, man, the old show pony.
He's kind of like the Mark Twain show pony, though. He kind of like ambles around in a linen suit and, like, you know, lays witticisms on people and makes them feel good. I don't see you as that guy necessarily.
Oh, man, I feel like you're half describing my job description. I don't know. I mean,
well, yeah. I mean, we'd have to kind of flesh out what kind of show pony you're going to be. You could be. I'm just thinking about your approach now. You've done a couple of books, including a Waterbrook Multnomah hit. You know, I mean, you're in that fraternity.
Yeah, me and Rich. You know.
So that goes on the resi. I mean, you're Rich.
Me and Valetis, yeah. But
yeah, you could go with like former music guy show pony. You could do former music and publishing guy show pony.
What about current? I mean, you know, biggest, you know, evangelical podcast co-host. I mean, that boys, that counts for something, right? I don't know if you know this, but it's on the back of Pipe's new book. And there's my plug.
Can we talk about blurbs?
Yeah.
Like, why didn't I get a chance to blurb
Pipe? I don't know. I was going to ask you why I didn't get the chance to blurb Pipe's book either. I didn't.
Wait. You just said your name is on the back of it.
No. He identifies himself in his res as co-host of our pod. You know, obviously you're going to say that because that's his
I thought for a minute that you got to blurb it and I didn't.
No, I did not get to blurb it. Of course not. Pipe would never ask.
I was about to be a little resentful. Pipe knows how good I am with blurbs.
I would never ask one of you to blurb and not the other. That would be dirty pool to the max. Yeah.
Because one of us didn't fit with that book's blurbing capabilities.
No. It had to do with the fact that, I got some stipulations from the publisher saying, can you try to get people from this array, keep the number to this amount, whatever. And second, as much as you guys whine and complain about being asked to blurb, I thought I was doing you a favor, especially because I'm happy to give you copies of the book. And so you get the best of all possible worlds. You get the book and you had to do no work at all. You didn't even have to pretend to read it. You didn't have to like sit on the request for 4 days. So I thought maybe you had glanced through the manuscript. You did nothing.
We get it, man. We get it. You didn't want Ronnie Alcorn. You wanted Randy Alcorn. You wanted Ted Decker. We know why you do this.
Oh, Ted Decker. Who is that? Why do I know that name?
Because you're familiar with bad Christian fiction. That's why.
Left Behind, sir. Is that?
Oh, that's true. He was a He wasn't a Left Behind guy, was he? He was something else.
Is he a Left Behind?
No, Decker is the one who's done like he's like the follow up to Frank Peretti on like the weird supernatural fiction stuff.
Kind of like demons fighting angels in the sky kind of thing. Yeah, kind of floating around. He's that guy.
He's not my favorite Ted. Let me just tell you that right now.
Wow. Yeah. How many Teds are there in Christian publishing?
There's you and Ted Decker, and that's it.
All right.
Oh, there's got to be a couple others.
There is two. There's Ted Keller.
Isn't Paul Tripp's brother, the Shepherding a Child's Heart guy? Isn't that Ted Tripp?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Ted Tripp, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ted Tripp. Big
I think
time.
He's Ted with two D's though.
Mm.
He is.
Interesting. Two D's and a great mustache.
Yeah.
There's Ted LaHaye.
That's Tim two LaHaye's things you don't stuff. Have. There's something else to feel inadequate about, I guess.
Ted LaHaye, Tim LaHaye's unsuccessful younger brother.
Yeah, it is.
That would Ted be LaHaye. Me in the family.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of blurbs, though, I got a little breaking blurb news. Guess who's done with his Jared C. blurb?
Wait a minute. Boy, Ted, this has been a 6 week project for you, baby.
6 week, baby. Try 6 month. This has been a long game, the longest of long games. I'm done, though.
How do you let me ask you some questions. So
yeah,
how
interview
do you,
me about interview me about the Jared blurb.
Well, baby, let me just ask you this, man. How I know when he first asked you, you were torn. It was a big decision for you to make. We know it was a big commitment of time. Huge. How did you what did the next 6 months look like for you as you prepared to embark on this writing project?
I cleared the schedule. I migrated all my classes online and I didn't leave the house for like 3 months.
You started a pandemic. Is that
now? Yeah. To be fair, everyone did that, but like, I feel like I was prepared to do that anyway to give Jared a good blurb. So you
completed it. Let's just ask. I think what we want to know is how do you feel about the work?
I feel really good about it. And I got to tell you, man, all ha ha's aside. And I said this to Jared. I loved the book. So I fully prepared to like completely mail it in as I do for all book blurbs, you know, meaning
and
I
you were wondering why I didn't ask you for one.
Exactly.
Just bringing it full circle here.
He prefers Randy Alcorn to not read his book and blurb it than you, Ted.
That's okay. Hey, you know what? Respect. I mean, I get it. There's certain things that have to be done in the business. I definitely get it. But no, man, I was fully prepared to do that. And I was fully prepared to like kind of joke around with the blurb and make it a little bit ha-ha and a little bit like inside baseball in terms of the humor. But a strange thing happened in that I read the entire book. I was completely drawn in by it. It was really, really good. It was everything that like young adult fiction should be in that it was thoughtful and entertaining and fun and lots of characters that you can relate to. It was a great book.
Was so, it like a burgeoning love story of preteens or teenagers?
A little bit, dude, but not too much. You know what I mean? It didn't lean too heavily into that. There was a little crackle of that.
Okay.
But it was very tasteful. Yeah, good. It was very tasteful.
Well done, yeah. Jared C.
Absolutely. So, yeah, Jared C. killed it. I dare say I killed it on the blurb. You know, if you get the book, maybe if you don't get around to reading the book, just read the blurb.
Yeah, that's I think that's what most people think.
But buy the book. Like, buy it and then read the blurb. Yeah,
absolutely. Buy it so that
I suppose we should give the name of the book. Do you know it off the top of your head?
I do. It's called Echo Island. Echo Island by Jared C. Wilson.
Baby, would you mind reading the blurb, or are you waiting for it? You want it to drop, or you want to give us a little sneak?
Baby, listen. I don't know if there's a proprietary with the publisher on that blurb, but I could give you a little sneak.
I mean, as long as you're not giving away the plot, right? Which I doubt.
No, dude, I'm not giving away the plot.
The publisher's not going to be mad. This is free. They're not paying us for this. This is free promotion.
It's wait B&H. A minute. We're not getting a dime. We're not getting
Ronald,
a dime
is he in
from
the
B&H.
Is he in the Penguin Random House Waterbrook?
No,
like
he's
we are?
Not, dude. No,
oh. Of course sure this is not. A B&H book.
Of course, he's not part of the Waterbrook alumni,
the fraternity, I mean, the fam. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. My gosh, it's funny you even thought that was a possibility.
I know, dude. I'm sorry. I mean, it kind of devalues what we did. But all right, let me lay the blurb on you. This is it, word for word. All right, here we go. Two things I've never been a huge fan of are book blurbs, perhaps besides Twitter, the lowest and least sincere form of human communication, and young adult fiction. But after
reading, right
full, full stop.
No, this is in there. Yeah, this is in there. That's the end of the blurb. No, there's more. I said,
that's
but after
it. That's the blurb.
Yeah, that's it. But after reading Echo Island in its entirety, I am, at least momentarily, a huge fan of both. This book was everything a young adult novel should be. Fun, hopeful, thoughtful, challenging, and full of the kinds of characters you see aspects of yourself in. And oddly, as a middle-aged father, I found myself being edified and encouraged by it as well. So that's it, dude. That's a blurb.
I love how it was like so backhanded in the way you introduce it.
Yeah, well, I do hate the whole idea of blurbs. It's
yeah, I love that felt like you had to remind everybody, hey, by the way, I'm doing this, but I'm not happy about it.
Well, yeah, I'm not happy. I didn't start happy, but I ended happy.
You ended happy, right? Which is what matters.
It is, in that I really did love the book. So
yeah,
there you go.
Wow, that's great. That's a great blurb.
Yeah, shout out Jared. You guys, I'm sure. Like, are you going to co-author on the sequel, baby?
Hey, check this out. So I didn't want to mention this, but I think I will in the spirit of the pod right now. But I just got a request from Jared C. to blurb his next book that's coming, his Christian Living discipleship book that's coming out.
Baby,
next
that's
year.
Big. It's that's big, a. Yeah. I feel like that's step one. That's step one toward like you getting the big Jared payday that you've been working for all these years.
Yeah, no.
That's step one.
We'll see how it goes.
It's good. Yeah, it's huge.
We'll see how it goes.
What's your process going to be like? Are you going to clear the deck for 6 months like I did?
I actually finished it about 30, 40 seconds after he sent me the email, and I just said, Jared's new book is a tour de force.
Tour de force.
Ron yeah. and Martin.
Everything you say is art. Yeah. What yeah, are we so hanging out
It's
again?
Done. That's literally what I wrote.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. That's really good. Good work by you. Babe.
Good work. Good
hey, Ronnie,
work.
I have a question for you. You remember several months ago we talked on this podcast about, you know, whether men have best friends or should have best friends. And
oh boy,
my recollection is that you sort of scoffed at the idea. I'm wondering if this developing relationship with the Wilsons changes your tune on best friends.
Pipe, what did I say about adult best friends? I don't remember.
You said you're not a best friend guy, except that.
Guys remember that, and I literally have no recollection.
My recollection is that you use sort of a Valley Girl-ish voice, which is very similar to your vulnerability voice, and made fun of people who are like, oh my gosh, that's my best friend.
All right.
Is it coming back to you now?
Yeah, okay. I gotcha.
So there was sort of a scoffing at grown, I think particularly men, but just adults who claim best friend. And I've never seen you claim best friend status for Jared C., but wondering if there's movement on that conviction.
I just don't. I just don't know that it's. I don't know that it's possible, Pipe, to have a best. To have
now,
a best
are you
friend.
Saying?
Are you
what
saying
I'm
he's
hearing.
Not ever going to be your best friend?
Thank you, Piper.
I'm saying
that's exactly what I was.
I'm saying like yeah. you can't. To me, all right, boys. Here it is. You can't
breaking
have,
news: Jared Wilson and Ronnie Martin are not best friends.
You can no, not at all. Stop. You can't. You can't have a proximity, man. You can't
there goes
have a best
the project,
friend without
baby.
Proximity. You,
there
I,
goes
you just
the payday.
You know.
There it goes.
I mean, it's like it's hard to have a best friend if it's just purely distance.
Piper,
right?
Do you think he even likes
also
Jared
if you're
C
a grown
anymore?
Up? What's that?
Do you think he even right. likes Jared C anymore?
Dude, I love Jared C.
It sounded a lot to me like he just canceled Jared C. That's what I heard. I just
wow.
there's a yeah. there's sort of a complete write off of him.
Dude,
his
cut
value,
to the montage where Jared C. like tears that picture in half that they took.
Boy, that is just so cruel.
He just crossed Ronnie off his friend list.
That is so cold when you know how tight
in red lipstick, dude. I love that reference.
I mean, we're doing vacations together, holidays together. We're writing
but yet
book
he's not
together.
Your best friend, is what I'm hearing.
I mean, I don't think I know how to be a best friend.
Wow, dude.
Let me say it like this.
This is a blow.
I don't think I know how to be a best friend.
it's the NEF Downs podcast, everybody. Speaking of people who aren't our best friends, that's an elegant radio segue.
Just humanity as a whole, but anyway, somebody particular.
Well, humanity, including Christopher Nolan. Who just
hold on, I got to finish texting Jared C. right now, just, you know, compensating for everything you just said about him.
Are you taking him off of your favorites list of your contacts?
There you go.
Oh. Dude, how often do you guys text every day? Are you hitting it a couple times an hour? Are you're consistent like that, right?
I mean,
just like, hey, how's your morning?
You know,
kind of thing?
No. Yeah. Jared C. is not, he's not super, let me just say this, all right?
All right.
Jared C. is,
question.
Jared C. is very... He's very businesslike with his texts.
Mm. He's not expansive
you know what I mean?
Like you are.
He's kind, but very businesslike. So, in other words, like when we text back and forth and somebody like says something funny or something like, you know, we kind of do follow-ups or we laugh or we do this. Mm-hmm. Jared C. he's just way more like business class when it comes to texting.
Dude, do you get insecure when he doesn't text back right away?
No, not at all.
How long before you start worrying? Day? Day and a half?
No, he's not that long. I mean, he's not...
Yeah.
He's not like us where it's under a minute.
6 days?
He might take like 6 minutes.
Oh.
With him where you say like, hey, baby, and then wait
20
for
minutes.
8 minutes before you send exactly. the next text.
So check it out. So the first time I texted Jared C. back in the day, I did I would just say dude and click send because I like to get people's attention. And he wrote me back.
People love that too.
Yeah, no, he didn't love it. He said, you're killing me if that's how you open up every one of our texts. And I said, I said, I think killing you is a little strong, Jared C. But I said, okay, if you don't like it, I won't do it. So we kind of
What about if we don't like it, Ronnie?
If you don't like it, I'll stop doing it. If that's not best friend talk, I don't know what is.
I will change the essence of who I am for you.
No, you guys are missing it. It's just the other way around, boys. Like, it's because it's that's the thing, man. You're just getting it all wrong, man. It's because our friendship is forming that I don't want to do anything offensive. It's because my friendship with you is so tight that I don't care.
If Jared asked you to start wearing
absolute
schlumpy khakis and a golf shirt every day, would you do it?
Oh my gosh, no. That's insane.
Oh, I thought you had to do that anyway because you are enrolled at a Baptist seminary.
Yeah, that's funny. No, I'm not. I'm not receiving funds from the seminary, so I still have freedom in life.
Dude, are you like the token cool guy at the seminary?
Dude, I have no idea.
Do you like that persona?
I don't know. I mean,
you haven't been to class?
He is too cool to know.
Okay, yeah, we did some classes, and it was generally kind of what you would think, you know, the person that would come to it, that would, you know, enroll at a seminary, yes. So that's all I have to say. Nice guys, though. Nice guys, you know. That shouldn't have gotten it. Why did they get everybody quiet? I don't understand.
I don't know. We're just mulling it over.
I mean, man, that wasn't a lot to process.
I was just picturing you in a room full of typical Baptist seminary guys and internally feeling gleeful, actually.
Well, dude, it's always funny, boys, because I'm telling you, all you got to do is say something a little off the cuff and you get everybody's attention because they're all so gosh darn serious about everything. Mm. I mean, everything is serious, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no ha-ha. There's no sense of like, you know, we can be a little relaxed and not take ourselves so seriously. They all are like in it, man. They're in it to win it.
What is the average age of these people? Are they like 26-year-olds? Like, what are we looking at here?
Pipe, you know what's so crazy, man? They're not. It's all older men and women. And I'm not saying I'm the youngest guy, but there's quite a few men and women that are older than me in this. It's really weird. I feel like that's
a good deal, though, in general. Because, like, a 26-year-old Christian guy is maybe the toughest hang in the world, you know, right?
I mean, I'm not going to argue.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I have no argument against that.
Dude, they know everything. They haven't been humbled yet. It's just a tough age.
Right. But then what it morphs into is you get these dudes or you get these women that are, like, they're, like, 53, and they're just, like, I mean, they're definitely more humble. There's no doubt about it. But they're also like just very intense on what they're all into. And you just kind of go, well, dude, the intensity's I don't know what's harder, man. Just the intensity or the arrogant 23-year-old that probably shouldn't even be in seminary. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, I think in a setting like that, there's the feeling that like all the talk is competitive. It's like competitive talking. You know what I mean? That's a really great point,
Big T. I like how you say that. Yeah, right. And there's all that pressure. And then there's like those people that like don't ever talk because they're like, oh, dude, I'm not going there. I'm not doing it.
Totally. If I just lay in the weeds, I'll be okay. I'll be safe.
I've been praying all morning that the prof doesn't like pick me.
I'll go out in the yard and bury my talent. That'll be good. No, that would be me. Totally.
Wow. So what were we talking about again?
I don't know.
Well, we were going to talk about Christopher Nolan, but then
we had
some best friend questions.
Yeah, dude, the best friend thing kind of derailed us. But
you think Nolan, your best friend, relax, man.
There it is. See, Piper, that's journalism. It took us 33 minutes to get there.
Judas.
We knew that was coming.
I got to cover my bases every time now on the pod.
It's just a lesson for listeners. You really have to, you know, if you want to get to the truth, you just have to stick to it and ask the hard hitting questions.
Gosh,
dude, I feel like, and I really don't have time for this topic now. I've got like 4 minutes, but I feel like Chris Nolan wouldn't be a good best friend. I feel like he'd have to be the smartest guy in the room, and that would get annoying. I don't think he'd be a fun hang.
Yeah, I feel like you'd be like at a restaurant. You'd each like order lunch, and he'd start getting all coy with the waiter.
Yeah. Yeah,
man,
it'd be awkward.
That's funny because I feel like he would be just disconnected from humanity, kind of like all of his movies.
Like he wouldn't even go to lunch with you?
Yeah,
like he would just say no.
There is not a real human character in any of his movies. They're all just plot devices. And so I wonder if he even like, could he have a normal conversation where you're like, hey, man, how are you? And would he just sort of look at you blankly and then be like, well, I was thinking about layers of time. And like, whatever. Just, I was wondering if you were going to watch the game tonight or like,
oh, he's
did you enjoy Tuesday?
Pipe, you'd probably be his really good friend because you'd be the only dude in his life. Like when he said like, so I have this theory on time, and you'd be looking at him going like, dude, save it, man. What? Like you, it probably would make you Nolan's BFF because you'd be the only guy that wasn't yessing him all the time. You know,
I don't know that he'd be the type to take that well, though.
But he might be like, finally, man, I got a dude that just doesn't think that everything I say and do is like, you know, A plus, you know.
I wonder if anybody's ever told him that messing with sequence of time doesn't work in plots.
That's true.
I mean, he would have a lot of money and a lot of film budgets to like argue against you with that.
So. Although, didn't it work for him in Memento? And I feel like it worked for Tarantino in Pulp Fiction. I feel like everybody was doing it in the 90s, and it got annoying.
Pulp Fiction was non-sequential, but it wasn't like a time travel thing.
That's true. Nolan. Nolan took time travel, and he made it not fun.
Well, no, but dude, listen, Pipe, I actually don't disagree with you. This is what's weird. Like, I like Nolan movies, you know? I don't lose sleep when a new one's coming out. I can't wait, you know? So I'm not like that. But, like, I get what you're saying. And the thing that I said about Tenet was, like, he arranges his movies in such a way that, like, there is no time for character development. So the problem is that they completely are devoid of emotion. So, like, interesting things happen, but you don't care because you really don't know anything about the character. So I actually agree with you on that. I still like watching them, but I agree with you on that level. That's kind of what you're saying.
Right. Or in, like, Inception, there's – that movie has some, like, deeply personal plot threads.
That does, actually, yeah.
But you don't care about any of them because it's like a – because the character themselves is just sort of they're a bit of an android plot device-y
like
kind of thing.
Yeah, totally.
And so like the loss of your spouse or whatever just kind of doesn't matter except as it's an adventure to try to solve this thing, not a point to make me care. I mean, nobody remembers the names of any of the characters in his movies except for Batman and Joker.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But I think, you know, I think that's true for most of his movies. I think, you know, Interstellar had a lot of, there was like, that was like his, that was kind of like his emotional moment, I think, for his filmmaking in terms of like, oh man, there's this father-daughter thing and it's sad and it's crushing. And it's, I think he kind of achieved it a little bit with that, but that's just not the central, I don't think that's the focus of his movies ever. Cause he's so geeked out on like, kind of the complexities behind his concept that like you just miss out on the relationships. He just doesn't emphasize it. I don't know. But it makes a good point.
Which makes them enjoyable to watch and not really worth thinking about much afterwards unless you just like puzzles.
Dude, that's exactly what it is. I mean, like I walked out of Tenet, right? I had a group of people I was there with and we just looked at each other. And it was like, is it confusing? Did you get it? It was all about, did you get it? And I was like, I don't even care if I got it. It was fine. It was worth it. I'm glad I saw it. And I think by the time I get home tonight and I'm 20 minutes away from my house, I will never think of it again. Kind of a thing. I don't know.
There you go. You know what I think of often, Piper? The Dwell Bible app. I think of them often because they are a great product, but also they give us money. So in the spirit of both sides of that delicate equation, tell us about Dwell Bible.
Well, you did a great job of setting it up. They are, in fact, an audio Bible app. And so if you go to dwellapp.io/happyrant, you can find out details. They also have a discount for our listeners to subscribe to them. Audio Bible apps like Dwell are a great way of getting scripture into the kind of the margins of your life where it'd be harder to you can't really read while you're driving or while you're running or whatever, but you can memorize scripture. You can listen. They have a whole bunch of different features depending on what kind of listening you're seeking to do. If you're looking to listen through the Bible, if you're looking to memorize, to study, to reflect, they have stuff set up for that. Multiple narrators, all these different features. They're coming out with more all the time. So again, go to dwellapp.io/happyrant. You'll get a 20% discount off of a subscription. I believe it comes out to, yes, less than $2 a month. for an annual subscription. That's really inexpensive for something that's well worth it. I would encourage you to check that out and become a listener today.
There it is. Well done, Pipe. Well done. Great promo work by you today. You had to work double duty. You had to pull like a double shift. We should... Yeah, yeah, we need to pay Piper time.
We'll give him a little. We'll give him a bonus for that, obviously.
Yeah, a little bonus
from your Penguin Random House funds.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, dude. Penguin Random House. They rewarded us handsomely for that book.
Did you get your weekly Penguin check this week?
Yeah, dude. The residuals. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I haven't gotten mine yet, so it's usually comes by Wednesday. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, thoughts and prayers, baby. I hope it gets there soon. Yeah, yeah. Boys, we've done what we always do in this program. In that we've wandered to and fro throughout some conversations that may have sounded a lot like just three friends catching up on the phone. But I assure you, it really was radio because there were sponsors. And until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Once in a generation, a podcast comes along with the power and eloquence to inspire us all.
This show will entertain you while you wait for that one. Join two best friends, author and former history teacher John Driver and comedian Johnny W. for hilarious and authentic conversations about life, history, culture, faith, and everything in between.
You can listen to Talk About That wherever you find your podcasts or at lifeaudio.com.